You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by NerdWallet. And you see, Detroit, that's where we are as we welcome you in. The clock is important because teams are going to be on the clock in just about 24 hours. Dan Orlovsky's here, Adam Schefter, Ryan Clark. Yes, we are in a small space once again. We'll see if anybody gets smacked in the face in this room. But either way.
A lot.
I don't know. Tomorrow we're all going to be together on a set here in Detroit. We also have Matt Miller joining us a little bit later. He has his latest and final mock draft. There's going to be a surprise trade that you don't want to miss. But Adam, now just about 24 hours away from the beginning of round one, take us through how you think the top will go based on the news you're hearing.
Well, we'll start at number one with the Chicago Bears, and it is no secret that Caleb Williams looks like he's going to be the number one overall pick for the Chicago Bears. They spent an awful lot of time on him. They traded away Justin Fields, and they are prepared to move forward with him, moving us to pick number two, which would be the Washington Commanders. And the signs continue to point to the LSU quarterback, the Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels, becoming the second overall pick, which then would take us to pick number three, and the New England Patriots. And this seems to be the first action spot of the draft. Whether the New England Patriots stay there and pick their quarterback of the future, or whether they trade away that pick. The two teams that they've heard from the most so far are the Minnesota Vikings and the New York Giants. Minnesota has two ones, but the Giants have the sixth overall pick. They're closer. Arizona is waiting at number four with their general manager, Monty Ossenfort, who did a lot of wheeling and dealing last year. They have said that they will not make a trade, if they make one at all, until they're on the clock on Thursday night. So that pick is for sale, but no sales are final until Thursday night, if they even make one. And the New York Giants are at pick number six. There's been some discussions with the Patriots at number three. Everybody's waiting to see whether the Giants would go ahead and take a quarterback, whether that would be Drake May, the North Carolina quarterback, or potentially the Michigan quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, who they've done a lot of work on so far during this process. They went to Ann Arbor to work him out. They flew him to New York to visit with him. They spent Easter with J.J. McCarthy. And so there's a lot of work that the Giants have put in on quarterbacks. You can't ignore the fact that a quarterback is possible for the New York Giants right now at six, and we'll see how that shakes out here on Thursday night, Laura.
So many ways they could go, to Adam's points there. But, Dan, let's talk specifically about the pairing of the Giants and Drake May. Does that make sense to you?
The closer I've gotten to the draft, it does. Two reasons. One, style, and two, timeline. The style of play that Drake May excels at is the ability to, like, javelin the ball downfield. I mean, it's just launching the football down the field and hitting some of the big posts that Brian Daboll, who is the Giants offensive coordinator and head coach, really loves to a dial up. And I think his ability to be accurate down the field plays well. And then the second element is the timeline element. And the reason I bring that up is Drake May gets to get drafted by the Giants. If that's the case, immediately he takes basically all the offseason reps, because Daniel Jones is the person who's recovering from the injury. And then Daniel Jones becomes the starting quarterback once he's fully healthy, and Drake May gets to sit. And everyone knows that I've talked ad nauseum that he needs to work on his mechanics and not have the pressure of winning. So as we get closer to Thursday night, that's the team that I just feel most convicted about is a very good trade-up partner situation for Drake May.
Yeah, I think that's the key, right? If you can trade up and get Drake May and you've sort of earmarked him as the guy, then I believe that's something that you can do. But I believe the consensus on Drake May is that he does need to develop. He does need to get some more work and kind of refine some of those skills that can make him a really good professional quarterback. The thing I love about Drake May is I believe he has the most untapped potential of all the quarterback prospects in this draft. And we've seen a coach in Brian Daboll take a Josh Allen, who we knew had all this untapped potential and had an extremely high ceiling and refine him and help him become one of the best in the league at the quarterback position. And so I'm looking forward to see how the New York Giants maneuver and what the New England Patriots think about their slot at number three, the assets they could gain, and if New York has enough to go up and get their guy.
You know, RC, Ruddy, it's interesting, and Matt, you'll know this a little bit too, is how aggressive can they actually be, the Giants? Right. We're a year away from them giving Daniel Jones a ton of money. So I think it's got to be tough for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll to walk into their owner's building and say, while we gave Daniel Jones all this money a year ago, now we also want to take draft picks to move up in the draft to go get a person that essentially is going to replace that guy. I think how aggressive are they actually allowed to be by ownership factors in as well.
It is a rare quarterback class. And the other thing, too, is the guaranteed money isn't necessarily the situation for Daniel Jones. All right, let's go to Matt Miller, our draft analyst, who we're bringing in now. Matt, what do you think about the potential of Drake May in New York with the Giants?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing right now is if you squint hard enough, Drake May kind of looks and plays and moves like Josh Allen, which is the connection that everyone wants to make with Brian Daboll. What I would say to that is, let's remember, Josh Allen struggled until what? Until Buffalo traded for Stephon Diggs. Who are the Giants' top two receivers right now? Jalin Hyatt and Wandale Robinson. No disrespect to either guy. They're not that proven number one that Stephon Diggs was when he got to Buffalo. So I think if the Giants are going to trade up to get a Drake May, sure, I love that bit. I think Daboll is one of the best quarterback coaches in the NFL. My question would be, now how are you fixing the rest of this team that has been a problem? Because now you've committed all that money to Daniel Jones. You bring in Drew Lock as a free agent, as a bridge quarterback. Now you're going to have Drake May, who you've traded up to get. So your second round pick that you have right now is probably gone. You traded your other second round pick for Brian Burns. So how do you fix the rest of this roster is where the Giants would be at. I love Drake May. I think it would be great for Brian Daboll. I don't know how this helps the New York Giants immediately, because as we've all said, he needs to sit for at least a year to clean up some issues, and the rest of the roster needs a lot of help.
I'm going to be honest, guys. I couldn't hear anything Matt said because his eyes are so stinking blue. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if it's this new slender Matt that makes his eyes sort of this Dallas Cowboy blue, but oh, my goodness, are our draft viewers in for a treat when old Blue Eyes here hits the screen.
It's Detroit blue. It's Honolulu blue.
Killing
me,
RC.
It's Honolulu blue.
That's a good point. I actually just saw Matt in person, and I had the same thought, RC. I was really, really distracted. They're kind of like turquoise. All right, speaking of Honolulu blue, let's talk about the Lions. So we're here in Detroit, and some action happening today with two key players. Okay, this is pretty fitting that this would happen. Big news today. The Lions and Amon-Ra St. Brown have agreed to a four-year, $120 million contract extension, and then went ahead and locked down another homegrown guy in Penei Sewell. This, of course, first reported by NFL Network, but Adam Schefter confirming this information. Two of the key young pieces in their offense, as I said, St. Brown, one of just four players in NFL history with 300 receptions in his first three NFL seasons, joining Justin Jefferson, Michael Thomas, and Christian McCaffrey. That's some pretty high praise and good company to be in, while Sewell ranks sixth among tackles in pass walk win rate, with teammate Taylor Decker ranking seventh. Exciting to see that for a team that I think a lot of us were high on last season. There's so much they can accomplish this coming season. Yeah. Adam, how did these deals come together today?
Listen, the Lions' goal all offseason was to get extensions done for Jared Goff, Penei Sewell, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Well, today, just before the draft begins in the host city, Detroit, the Lions get a deal done with two of the players. I think a lot of people thought that Jared Goff might come first, but before they could get the deal done with Goff, and no deal is close at this time, they get the deal done with Amon-Ra St. Brown in an offseason where there are going to be plenty of wide receiver deals. He gets a four-year, $120 million extension. And then, of course, they move on to their offensive tackle, Penei Sewell, who they once got after the Bengals drafted Ja'Marr Chase, and the Lions got their wish. They got Penei Sewell at that time. And so these two young players, both under the age or at or under the age of 24, are now fixtures in Detroit. And the next priority for this team will be to try to sign Jared Goff to a long-term extension.
If you asked right now which two players on the Detroit Lions offense most personify the bite your kneecaps, and if we get knocked down, we'll get back up by their position. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell. The toughness that both of these men play with, the effort, the aggression, the intensity that they have for the game is exactly what the Detroit Lions are turning into. And what I love about this is when you draft correctly, when you develop guys correctly, when those guys show you they are everything and more that you expected them to be, when you gave them that phone call late in April, make them feel rewarded for it. And I love this by the Detroit Lions, showing that if you come here and you play great ball and you allow us to be a very good football team, you will get what you're supposed to get on the back end. I think this is a beautiful move for both of these men and this organization.
Yeah, it's really a shout out to their general manager, Brad Holmes. I don't think everyone understands. I played for 7 years in Detroit. This did not happen. We didn't draft players that we signed to second contracts like this, because it didn't work out in that capacity. The fact that this has become a calling card of Detroit is a huge thing. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think, is, RC, you could speak to it a little bit, one of the most complete wide receivers in the NFL, because he does the dirty stuff. He does all the dirty stuff, even though he's exceptionally talented. I think he's one of the best in the middle of the field wide receivers. Also, you will not find a better blocking wide receiver outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Maybe Brandon Ayuk into that conversation as well. One of the very best all-around football players and certainly wide receivers that the NFL has.
Adam, I'm curious how this deal with St. Brown impacts the wide receiver market. Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk, just mentioned, CeeDee Lamb, they're all waiting for deals.
Justin Jefferson could get 100.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Justin Jefferson, I believe, is in a category by himself, and I don't care.
Right.
I don't think he cares who's getting re-signed first before he gets his deal. Now, I'm sure CeeDee Lamb looks at this and says, well, Amon-Ra got 30. I'm getting 32. From the Dallas Cowboys, and Brandon Ayuk, who's been talking to the Niners, now has more evidence to give to San Francisco to say, hey, I should be paid like a top receiver. The going rate now is $30 million. So this is something where when one wide receiver, when one player lands this type of contract, the others hold it up as an example to what their value is and what it should be.
You know, I feel like we kept our hand motions under control in this studio that we're in here. Did you feel a little bit hamstrung?
We have 49 minutes left, so
all right,
I'll get
we'll
it
see
in.
How it continues to go. We're just getting started here on NFL Live. We've got a lot more coming your way that you don't want to miss. The smoke screens around players are everywhere, as we're just over 24 hours away from the NFL draft. However, see why Dan knows the tape on Jaden Daniels will prove all of his doubters wrong. Plus, the Patriots hold that third pick in tomorrow night's first round, but what is the best move for the franchise to get back to their winning ways? Our crew discusses what they believe is best for New England next. Find out if it's a quarterback. NFL Live is presented by NerdWallet. Start making smarter financial decisions today. And in part by Miller Lite. Great taste, 96 calories. Tastes like Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. We'll be right back from Detroit.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle.
Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled BABBEL.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Draft Profile is brought to you by Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power equipment.
Jaden Daniels is the engine behind an LSU offense.
Daniels said, we're going to make you pay.
Wow. Jaden Daniels is Lamar Jackson. Dual threat guys who can absolutely sling the football.
Daniels putting on a show.
The way that he conducted himself as a leader truly showed.
2023 Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels from Louisiana State University.
If I were the Chicago Bears right now, I would take Jaden Daniels out of LSU.
Whoever gets me, they'll get a hard worker, an explosive player, somebody's ready to learn.
ESPN Analytics Draft Day Predictor gives Daniels a 49% chance to go with the second pick and a 78% chance to be off the board in the top three. He would then join Joe Burrow, Jamarcus Russell, and Burt Jones as LSU quarterbacks to be drafted in the top three in the common draft era. Dan takes you inside what makes Daniels so good.
2023 Heisman Trophy winner Jaden Daniels had 40 touchdown passes with only 4 interceptions last season, and he has a pure stroke that should translate well to the NFL. Daniels was the best quarterback throwing from the pocket, leading the FBS in touchdown passes and yards per attempt on those throws. In his last 3 games at LSU, he had 11 touchdown passes and 0 interceptions from inside the pocket. He has pinpoint accuracy, and that was especially evident with the deep ball. Daniels completed 67% of his passes thrown 20 or more yards in 2023. That's the highest by any FBS quarterback in the last 10 seasons. Beyond the elite passing numbers, Daniels can also beat defenses with his legs. He's especially dangerous when he improvises, and no player had more yards on scrambles last year. He averaged nearly 13 yards per rush when he scrambled during his Heisman season. Jaden Daniels' dual threat ability can make him one of the top quarterbacks in the entire NFL.
The talent on the field, undeniable, as we've all seen. But if you talk to Jaden off the field, you'll see he's just such a genuine guy. RC, you know him well. What more can you tell us about the former LSU quarterback?
Yeah, I think the beautiful thing is he's still the same kid from the standpoint of his humility that I met when he was 18 years old, when he was part of the class of 2019 at ASU. But what I've seen is a maturation in the person, in the professional. He talked a lot about what he needed to be last offseason, where he would go on weekends off from school, train with CJ Stroud, train with Bryce Young. He understood that he wanted to be at the exact level that both of those young men were entering 2023, and he worked himself into that. And we watched last year him take a step above what we'd always seen from him. He became one of the best pocket passers in all of FBS, but outside of that, he was the most dynamic runner once he needed to make the decision. And after talking to him about where he wants to play and what type of quarterback he wants to be, and this wasn't a TV answer. This wasn't I'm talking to Ryan Clark, the analyst. This is I'm talking to Ryan Clark, the uncle. He said, I just want to go somewhere, work, fit in, and earn an opportunity to lead. And I think that's the sort of quarterback you want to draft on your team.
Yeah, I love that, RC. Everyone knows where I stand on Jaden. I think his game is so clean. And it's interesting because I've had people come up or – you know, say to me there's 2 things that they see in Jaden's game that are going to be issues in the NFL. One was, well, he doesn't throw well over the middle field or doesn't do it that often. And I responded back with, that's not what my eyes tell me on tape. And so when you look at the numbers, with yards thrown between the numbers, okay, over the middle of the field, he was the best in college football last year when it came to the guys coming out of the draft. And then the second thing, RC, ready, or people go, well, you know, he's really bad when it comes to his sack percentage under pressure. So 22%. So I look at it and say, well, 1 every 5 times he's pressured, he's got a sack. But 2 things stand out to me. 1, no interceptions. So he doesn't panic with the football.
Right.
2, if you're going to tell me that Jaden Daniels, Caleb and Drake May were right there as well.
Right.
So I'm sitting there and I think, like, I'm like, this great young player, this super talented kid, he's super clean. And everyone's like, Well, he won't throw.
Ow.
That was not going
to happen. Sound like a night. I don't know what to do with my hands.
He won't throw over the middle of the field. And then the sack percentage, are you concerned about that? I'm like, no, because the tape, those may be numbers that, but like the tape doesn't match that. And I think that's one of those situations where like the eyes have to matter more than the numbers necessarily.
I think my workplace is hazardous today. One thing I wanted to point out on Jaden that I think is really interesting is the fact that LSU last year did struggle so much on defense, as you guys know well.
Sure.
He never showed any frustration on the sideline. He never bagged his teammates. He never placed blame on anybody. He said, no. I'm going to work harder.
Can
I'm going to be better.
Can I touch on that real quickly?
Yeah, really.
And I think, because I do think there's an element that it's a little different between him and Caleb. Because I do give some grace to Caleb with some of the style of play, because USC's defense was terrible as well. So you're trying to force plays. You're trying to make all these big plays. You've got to score 40. Well, LSU's defense was just as bad. And
105th.
We didn't see that out of Jaden's game, you know? So, I think I lean a little bit more towards, that decision-making element from Jaden's side.
Okay. Well, we got more coming your way on NFL Live. I'm fighting for my life out here, but glad to do it with all of you. And when we come back, we're diving into live reports, the latest draft buzz surrounding the Bears, Patriots, and Giants. And we'll hear what Caleb Williams had to say about potentially pairing up with one of the top receivers in the draft next. Good thing I grew up with brothers. I'm used to that.
I honestly am not even doing that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Excuse me. The NFL draft begins tomorrow on ESPN and ABC.
The only thing better than it being tomorrow is it being today, which, of course, it will be tomorrow. We're so glad you're with us on NFL Live. Courtney Cronin is covering the Bears, as she always does, but specifically for what we assume to be the number one overall pick in Caleb Williams. Courtney, what is he doing today as he prepares for a big night tomorrow?
Laura, Caleb Williams and Washington wide receiver Rome Odunze were on the field together for a flag football game today for Special Olympics athletes in Detroit. It appears that they're fast-tracking their on-field chemistry should they both hear their names called by the Chicago Bears. It was just last week that Williams was throwing passes to Odunze during an on-field workout in Los Angeles that included current Bears DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. So if the Bears use their second first rounder on Odunze, Williams says he'll be happy to have him as a teammate instead of as an opponent, given what transpired between USC and Washington last fall.
He was kicking our ass on October, I think it was, when we played him. And it was not enjoyable then. But to be around him and hang out with him here, combines and all the other stuff that we've done, being around each other, it's been really fun. To be able to work with him possibly, if that happened, would be an honor for me and a pleasure. Another type of athlete and player he is, and also, being around him, since combine, really, the type of person he is. So it'll be awesome.
We're about 24 hours away from when Williams expects to hear his name called number one overall. And he says he feels calm in anticipating that moment. It's something he's been preparing for the last 12 years. And I've been told he's been preparing for this draft outfit for just as long. He gave us a little sneak peek of it, says he's going to be wearing a light navy blue suit with some silver accents on it. His pinky finger is going to be painted silver to match his girlfriend's outfit. And while Caleb Williams, Ryan Poles won't say what feels inevitable, I'm going to go ahead and point out the obvious here. Navy blue, one of the primary colors for the Chicago Bears, feels like this is all pointing towards what we expect to happen when the Bears are on the clock tomorrow night.
Yeah, good for Caleb wanting to be on brand there. It'll just go well with the hat and everything. We'll see what happens, but it does feel certainly like it's trending that way. Thanks to Courtney Cronin. The latest, really interesting, too, about potentially the pairing with Romo Dunze. Chicago has that ninth pick as well. So after one, it gets a lot more interesting. And when the Giants are scheduled to pick at sixth overall, there's an excellent chance that Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May all off the board, as you see here. Just slightly more than a 50% chance that J.J. McCarthy will be on the board, according to ESPN Analytics Draft Day Predictor. So just 5 years ago, the Giants took Daniel Jones with a sixth overall pick. Sal Palantonio with the Giants has more on their plans.
Hey there, Laura. With the number six pick in the first round, the Giants are looking to move up in the first round and draft a quarterback. And they've done a lot of work with Drake May of North Carolina. Drake May was here in the facility. He did a film study session with Brian Daboll. Daboll used to coach Tom Brady in New England. They went through film of Brady doing option routes with Rob Gronkowski. There was a comparison to Josh Allen, who Daboll used to coach in Buffalo. They liked Drake May's size, his playmaking ability. They did a lot of work with J.J. McCarthy of Michigan. They did a lot of work with Michael Penix Jr., visited him out in Washington. But if they want to get one of the top quarterbacks in this draft, they will have to move up. And will they have a willing trade partner with the New England Patriots at number three? Well, here's Mike Reese with those Patriots.
Sal, pal, you often say, here's the headline. So here's what it is in New England. A Patriot source telling me our legacies will be tied to what we decide at quarterback. I'm told they're operating with the mindset that unless you have a long-term answer at the position, you can't win. This is unfamiliar territory for the Patriots, picking third overall, the highest pick in owner Robert Kraft's 31-year tenure, why he's called it the most anticipated draft of his time. And one last thing, the Patriots are listening to trade offers, but head coach Gerard Mayo says it would take a bag for them to move the pick. And as of last check-in, no bag has arrived here in Foxborough. Laura?
Oh, I love Mike Reese.
Yeah,
so
Reese, the
all
bag.
Right, so, the bag ain't there yet. But let's say it does get there. Matt, I'm curious. You heard Mike Reese talking about the possibility of a trade for New England. What do you see potentially for them specifically moving down?
Yeah, if they move down, I think the question is how far can you go and still get one of the top quarterbacks in this class? And we saw something from the Arizona Cardinals similar to this last year. They were on the clock. They moved from three. They moved out. And then here they come rushing back up the board to get the first offensive tackle in Paris Johnson Jr. So that's kind of the model that the New England Patriots would have to follow. Now, it is incredibly risky to do this. No team has ever traded out and then back up to get the quarterback. But can you trade back? If you like J.J. McCarthy as much as you like Drake May, then I think there is the opportunity to do this, especially if you feel like the Minnesota Vikings are going to come up to get Drake May, who they've been connected to throughout this draft process. So you feel like, hey, we could slide back a little bit. The problem is you do have the New York Giants sitting right there at pick six, as Sal Pal mentioned, that you have to think, if a quarterback's there, would the Giants take them? So, again, it's risky, but if the Patriots feel like they need to capitalize on the draft capital this year, trading back and then trading back up is certainly one way to do it. It's not how I would do it. I think if you were to take a quarterback, you just stay at three and take them, but they definitely have some opportunities here.
Yeah, if I was New England, I would stay at three and I would take Drake May because it's the perfect situation for him to go sit, develop. Jacoby Brissett can go play and kind of lead this team through really the 2024 season. Two things. Number one, what's the realistic timeline of expectation from the owners? We got to remember the Kraft family, we're the greatest dynasty in the history of the NFL. They know one way, win. And they haven't won in like 3 or 4 years. So do they sit there with the necessary patience to make sure that they take Dre. And if I'm Jerod Mayo and my staff, I'm sitting there taking Drake May. I'm walking into their office and saying, this young man is not playing until 2025 or fire me. The second thing is this, with the J.J. McCarthy attachment, this is what, you know, give me a, like, maybe intrigue is, does J.J. McCarthy, either good or bad, remind them of Tom Brady so much? I know
does
there's the Michigan tie. I don't know J.J. that well, yeah, but I do know that there's this mentality and perfectionist and crazy work ethic. Does the building sit there and go, we love that, we want that again? Or does the building sit there and go, we got tired of that, and that was, you know, like part of the
totally
reason why we moved on.
Too,
correct,
right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, there's some, the Kraft family still being there. I just don't know if they want that style again, quarterback-wise, at least personality.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if that personality got me 6 championships, he could come back here and do whatever he wants. Hell, you should be looking for a Tom Brady doppelganger if you're the New England Patriots, because you tried it without him and you kept the coach. And we all see how that went for this team. But I do believe that this could be a good spot for Drake May. And I think one of the underrated points that Dan made was the point of Jerod Mayo having to walk into the Kraft's office and say, if you're expecting him to play and you want me to draft him, then fire me right now, because that shouldn't be the plan for Drake May. And you have the perfect quarterback in Jacoby Brissett. You don't have a quarterback in Jacoby Brissett that's trying to prove to the world that he can be the franchise quarterback for the New England Patriots. He knows exactly who he is, and that can allow Drake May to develop as the New England Patriots build an infrastructure around him to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
It could play out really well. Guys, just to set the table for tomorrow, we've been saying this. 1-2 feels predictable, right? Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. At 3, it gets fascinating. From then on out, this first round could be one to remember with all the potential trades. We haven't even gotten to where the wide receivers will be taken. There's tackles. I'm trying to not hit you like you hit me. We got more to come here on NFL Live as we carry on from Detroit, getting you ready for all of that excitement for tomorrow night, all the coverage right here on ESPN. Of course, the Broncos traded for Zach Wilson. Many believe they're still hoping to land their franchise QB in tomorrow's draft. Does trading away more assets for their guy make sense for Denver? We discuss how aggressive Sean Payton and company should be. You're watching NFL Live, presented by NerdWallet.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to NFL Live, presented by NerdWallet. Coming your way from Detroit ahead of the NFL draft, let's go to Denver, where the Broncos hold the 12th overall pick, and they need a quarterback. The question is, how far up do they have to get to grab, say, J.J. McCarthy? Or do they wait? Bo Nix, he could be there even past 12. Do they trade back? Michael Penix Jr., he might still be there. Peyton Manning had this to say about J.J. McCarthy.
I had a conversation with J.J. McCarthy the other day. I texted him, Stoke, after the national championship. I never met him, but invited him to our football camp, and like Harbaugh wouldn't let him miss a workout, so he didn't get to go. And so I just reached out and said, hey, man, congratulations. You know, wish you the best of luck in your next chapter. And I guess he thought it was a prank because he never called me back. So I texted him Monday, you know, from the same number. And he's like, oh, it really is you. I thought that was somebody was pranking me. And so I just kind of wished him luck. And he said, I'd love to ask you some questions. So he called me back. And, boy, impressive to talk to. And I know Denver's very interested in him. And it sounded like, you know, this is a place he'd love to come to. So, but it's a little bit out of his control.
There's a lot of info there that we'll get to. But first of all, everyone answers Adam Schefter's text back, except maybe Aaron Rodgers. Either way, Adam, what are you hearing about the plans for the Broncos at quarterback?
Laura, the issue here is supply and demand. And essentially right now, we know there are quarterbacks that could go 1, 2, 3, 6, 11, 12, 13. There aren't, by my estimation, seven quarterbacks with first-round grades. So at what point, if you're Denver, is there going to be a quarterback there at number 12, whoever that is, that you believe is worth taking at the 12th overall spot? Yes, Sean Payton said, in a perfect world, they'd love to see if they could add a quarterback. They just don't know if the value will match up with where they're picking right now. So they wait to see if one of these guys can slide through to get to them. The thing to keep in mind here also, it's going to be a little challenging for Denver to come up. They don't have a second-round draft pick. They're without that pick, so it limits their ability to come up. They're kind of helpless, waiting to see what happens as they wait to see which quarterbacks fall to number 12.
Yeah, Adam, that's a really important note. And let's actually dive into the availability of McCarthy to the Broncos with Smarter Picks, brought to you by NerdWallet. The smart pick for teams picking outside the top 10 is to move up. You're going to have a chance to get the Michigan quarterback, of course. If the Broncos stand pat at 12, there's only a 4% chance he's still on the board, according to the ESPN Analytics Draft Day Predictor. After the sixth pick, it drops off to less than 50% of a chance that he's still available. Matt, the Broncos would need to give up a lot to go from 12 to get up to get McCarthy. And Adam even talking about there, they don't have a whole lot to give up. Is he worth giving whatever they do have to give up for?
No, I don't think so. And that's not a slight to J.J. McCarthy. I was at the pro day where people have said, this is the greatest pro day workout I've ever seen. I like J.J. McCarthy a lot as a person and a player, but he's my number 19 overall prospect for the 2024 NFL draft. And we're talking about, because the Broncos don't have that second round pick, to go to 5, which is, I think, where you realistically have to get in front of the New York Giants, to go to 5 is going to be very expensive for a team that they have maybe been shopping Cortland Sutton, their best wide receiver. Garrett Bowles, their left tackle, is coming up on a free agent year this year. So they have a lot of holes. Pass rusher is certainly one of them as well in this defense. So they have a lot of holes for a team to be giving up those type of assets. And I'll throw this in here real quick. One thing I've heard, a lot of teams are very comfortable with Michael Penix Jr. from Washington if they feel like they can't go up to get McCarthy. Like, sitting here today getting texts from teams saying, we like Penix as much as we like McCarthy if the cost is that high to go get him.
Yeah, Matt, real quick question. What do you like better? The Denver Broncos having to go up to 5 for McCarthy and maybe not being crazy expensive, or then dropping back to, like, say, the late teens and getting Bo Nix?
If it's a guarantee that I can get Bo Nix, I like that better. I'm always going to take more picks, right? I'm a prospect guy. I'm always going to want more opportunities to get great players. And going back from 12 to, like you said, maybe you slide back to 17 with Jacksonville, who wants to come up and get a premier corner or a wide receiver. I think that is much better value. Yeah. And then you're adding picks either this year or next year to where you can restock that cupboard a little bit.
Yeah, see, I agree with the sentiment it's going to be probably too expensive. I just think that J.J. and Bo are on different tiers as quarterbacks. So I think it's going to be difficult for them to get to where they want to for J.J. McCarthy. I just think it's more likely that they will end up having to trade back and get Bo Nix later in that first round, maybe in that late teens area, because I think that too many teams are going to be interested in going up and get J.J. McCarthy with more ammo.
I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is going to give Jim Harbaugh half of his check, because there's something that I'm missing from the film to the way that we're talking about drafting or giving up picks for this player. Do I like J.J. McCarthy? Absolutely. I don't drive far for food that I like, right? I don't go to movie theaters for shows that I like, for movies that I like. If I don't love it, I ain't moving for it. I ain't putting in effort for it. And to watch J.J. McCarthy's film, when I've seen the Andrew Luck playing similar offenses, it ain't the same, y'all. And as you say that J.J. McCarthy is on a different tier than Bo Nix, I believe he's on a slightly different tier. But the stair that J.J. McCarthy is standing on with both feet, Bo Nix has one of his feet on it, and the other one is off of the freaking ground. And so to me, if you can move back and get Bo Nix, or even get Bo Nix at 12, I don't give up what it takes to get J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, the other thing, too, I mean, you kind of said this, too. I mean, the Vikings, like, if they didn't go up and get Drake May, did they try to get J.J. McCarthy?
Right.
It just may end up being, for the Broncos, too much of a price to pay. But either way, you got to think the calls are going to be crazy inside those draft rooms starting tomorrow night. We've got more NFL Live on the way as we get you ready for all of it. The Raiders, one of many teams potentially looking for their franchise quarterback in tomorrow's draft. Could this be a landing spot for Michael Penix Jr.? Dan explains why he believes the former Washington QB is a good fit.
Who are you picking to go number one? ESPN Bet has all your go-to specials and offers for draft day. And as the official sportsbook of ESPN, it's the only place to find exclusive promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities. New users get $100 in bonus bets after making any sportsbook bet. Download today. What a play.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
NFL Live is presented by NerdWallet. Start making smarter financial decisions today. And in part by Astepro Allergy, nasal allergy relief that starts working in 30 minutes. As you can see, we're already in Detroit, the site of the 2024 NFL Draft. Coming from Detroit this week, the fifth annual Pat McAfee Draft Spectacular featuring former Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Catch him on YouTube and ESPN.com, ESPN Plus, and TikTok Live. NFL Live will be with you tomorrow starting at 3. We've got a two-hour special, and we'll also do 2 hours on Friday as well. Time for top stories brought to you by Sleep Number. Adam is back with us. What are you hearing, Adam, about the Raiders potentially taking a quarterback in this draft?
Well, ideally, they'd like to be able to do that, Laura. They have right now Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell under contract. Again, it comes down to a numbers game. Which quarterback makes it to them at number 13? And in a perfect world, they would have found a way to trade up to go get Jaden Daniels, but that's not happening, so they're going to have to sit where they are or try to move up a little bit later, but they're not going to get the quarterback they'd love to get, and now you have to see which one would be available at 13, and at that point, the pickings could be slim.
Just really fast, Adam, you mentioned them trying to move up, actually we're moving, but it's so interesting. They're trying to move up to get Jaden Daniels, and Adam's saying that's not happening. So you got to scratch that one from the books here. All right, Matt Miller's final mock dropped today. He has quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, as you see. It'd be the fourth time that's happened in the common draft era, dating back to 1967. He's got J.J. McCarthy fifth to the Vikings after a trade. There's never been four QBs taken in the top five, and later in the round, the Raiders go back and they get Michael Penix Jr. So, Matt, take us through this trade in your mock and then why you have the Raiders going to get Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, the way the board fell, Laura, I think the Raiders are in a spot after a pretty good free agency period. Remember, they filled their biggest need with Christian Wilkins, the defensive tackle from Miami Dolphins, one of the best young players in the NFL at that position. So they're able to send 2 second-round picks to go up from 47 overall to this spot and get Michael Penix Jr. So with the board falls this way, and I do hear consistently that the Raiders like Michael Penix Jr. In fact, I hear it so much that, like, you can't tune this noise out. We should have asked Shefty about this, because the Raiders have been so connected to Penix throughout the last week, really, talking to teams around the league. There is a belief that as coaches got involved with this process, Michael Penix's stock really rose, because coaches see he's a beautiful thrower of the football. He's the best deep ball thrower in the draft. When the pocket is clean, He's pretty and he's perfect. So in this mock draft at 13, I had the Raiders get a right tackle to shore up the offensive line. And at 27, they get their quarterback of the future for the Antonio Pierce regime.
When the pocket is clean, though, is so good.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said yesterday, Matt, is there's a little Jared Goff in him that when you protect him, he could throw it just about as good as anybody. Matt, I'm going to ask you a question, put you on the spot. If he didn't have the four season-ending injuries, is he higher than 27 for you when it comes to your overall player ranking?
I would say no. And honestly, I've heard the injuries aren't an issue. You know, the two ACL injuries, it's been more than 2 years. There's studies that have shown after 2 years an ACL is very unlikely to be injured again. I've told both shoulders came back clean. He had one to his right shoulder, one to his left throwing shoulder. Everything I've heard was that the medicals were pretty good on him, that it's not a concern. But he turns 24 years old this weekend. That is a little bit of an issue for me. For a guy who he came on strong so late, and he was with Kalen DeBoer so long. He was with him at Indiana. He was with him at Washington. So I think you do have to ask the question, did it click late because of you as a player, or did it click late because of your familiarity with the system and these elite wide receivers that he had?
I think if the Raiders walk away from the first round and either trade back and acquire Michael Penix or take him at 13, you walk away and feel like they win as far as the first round. Maybe not the elite winner, but they win. Michael Penix, Matt, I disagree. I would say that if Michael Penix didn't have his injury history, we would be talking about five quarterbacks going in the top five. I think he's that pure and natural of a thrower. And so I think the Raiders have to pay attention to the fact that Devontae Adams is also 31. At some point, they have to pay off that trade with the high-end quarterback.
Yeah, and also you look at Michael Penix Jr., and we watched the Raiders win last year with Aiden O'Connell. So you don't necessarily need a superstar at the position, but we're talking about a quarterback that can make every throw, someone who has shown that he's the leader. The poise that we saw late in the Oregon game and what was a great comeback after freestyling on the sideline. I think the big thing here is if you can move up late and get Michael Penix, you make and I'm not saying he's going to be Lamar Jackson, you make a Lamar Jackson-like move late in the first round, and I do believe you have your franchise quarterback for the next 10 years.
Matt, you don't have Bo Nix in your final mock draft going in the first round. Why is that?
I wanted to get him in there badly, but I couldn't find a spot. And I think, you know, maybe we would see another trade. A team like the New York Giants, if they miss out at six overall. The Los Angeles Rams are the team I keep hearing that they have big connections to Bo Nix. Les Snead, Bo Nix's dad have a connection. He's the type of accurate thrower that they would like. So I wouldn't be surprised if we did see some action where maybe a team comes up to the early second round to get Bo Nix if the board were to fall this way. But he was the odd man out in this mock draft. I think a lot of teams like him, but I haven't heard of any teams that have a true round one grade on him as things stand right now.
Yeah, I think if Bo Nix doesn't go 12 to Denver, I do see that there is a chance for him to fall back a little bit.
Yeah, he's one of those that's kind of been a little bit up and down with what we've heard lately. All right, we'll see you tomorrow on all of our draft coverage. But it's time for one more thing before we go from here in Detroit. And for this, we're going to the smack heard around the world, I think. Whack.
At least it was your shoulder, though. Good job, Dan, keeping your hands low.
How about that target?
I'm tight so surprised.
And Laura,
did
you must have been watching.
It wasn't that hard.
A little NBA basketball. You look like LeBron.
We got blocked.
You look like LeBron
Guys,
right now.
Here's the thing. It hit me, and then I was like, what just happened? I did flop. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, and we'll all be here for a two-hour show.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.